bet you there's some folks who are. Joining us, you're not even going to talk yet, are you?
Nope.
Okay. Joining us this morning from Eureka Police Sergeant Gary Whitmer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Labor has so many different definitions. For some of us, getting up before 9 o'clock on a day off is a labor.
That's my daughter.
Oh, is she a late sleeper?
14. Yeah, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll make her get up.
Okay, yeah. Something about the barbecue kind of gets her attention. Oh, gee. Let's see if there is a... Well, there are law quotes. I wonder if there's a labor quote in this big old book that we've got here. Okay. Labor. And labor. These are all heavy-duty things. Nah, we won't worry about it. So Labor Day, sir. Good time, bad time, interesting time. What does it mean for the troops?
Well, it can be good and bad. So we'll start with the good. A lot of people take vacation. They go out and enjoy themselves. A lot of times it's the last weekend before school starts. Summer's coming to a close, so a lot of people get to go out and relax and enjoy the last little bit of the heat. And take some time off.
But for the guys and gals driving around, Labor Day has a little bit different connotation, doesn't it?
It does. It can be rough. There's sometimes people that go out and enjoy themselves a little too much and like to drink a little and cause a crash. So that's not good. It affects everybody.
It's always been intriguing for me why people perceive that they need to. A side tangent thought there. What are your estimates? Gut. I mean, nothing scientific. About the percentage of people that are driving, let's say any day after 12 o'clock, who are impaired one form or another. Keep prescription drugs out because that's kind of a different subset.
Okay.
But
well, that changes
booze
things.
Or drugs, what do you think?
Well, alcohol and drugs, that's a good question. I think that changes upon the day of the week. I think Fridays, obviously maybe Saturdays and Sundays, sporting events come into play depending on what could be happening. So, unfortunately, I think that's a high statistic. I think there are quite a few people that are out there driving impaired, sometimes daily.
10, 15, 20?
Probably somewhere in there. I mean, it's not huge, but it obviously changes over the weekends, holiday weekends especially, special events, things of that sort. Now, you said take prescription medications out of that. And
now we'll put it back in.
Okay. That's difficult to do. Because we have seen a lot more drugged driving, and unfortunately, people are led astray to believe that just because the doctors prescribed them the medications for whatever illness or ailment, that it's okay to take those and drive. And maybe at times it is, but with the narcotics, you have to read the label. So you can get a DUI while driving under prescription medications. You can crash your car, you can kill yourself, you can kill others while driving under the influence of prescription medications. And we're seeing that.
Don't most of them say don't operate large
heavy machinery?
Yeah.
Correct. May cause drowsiness.
A clue? Is it drowsy? Is that the...
It says it may cause drowsiness. Don't mix with alcohol. It can say a variety of things depending on what type of medication it is. Don't operate heavy machinery, i.e. your car. So... some people just tend not to read that or think, well, it's not heavy machinery, it's just my car. The doctor gave this to me, so I'm good to go. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of that in the last few years where people have caused crashes and they're under the influence of prescription medication.
So how does it manifest itself? Does it tend to be like somebody who's drunk and the weaving and the goofy speeds and that kind of stuff, or delayed reactions? I mean, what does it look like for you?
For us, it could have some of the same impairment factors, such as the slow driving, the weaving, almost the same as when you're behind somebody that's trying to send a text message or read a text message. So you'll have some of those same traits. The collisions, that's a pretty good clue for us. when they're driving down.
When they run into something.
Straight stretch of road. So,
how many years experience has this taken to get to that point?
Almost 23 here, I'm catching on.
I'm glad you're a quick learner.
But we see some of those same traits. A lot of the narcotics have the same effect as, say, heroin, the opiates, and alcohol. It slows down your reaction and perception and your physical abilities to operate your car.
I've never, until now, had anybody make a reference with heroin and driving. You know, people have indicated, it puts people to sleep. Well, okay. I never thought of trying to drive while sleeping, but is heroin becoming, as it's more prevalent in the area, is it becoming more prevalent for you guys to run into people that are on heroin operating their vehicle?
Unfortunately, we see a wide variety of types of impairment, heroin being one. We've seen, in my personal experience, heroin users stop for a red light and nod off. And stop there at the light, foot on the brake, and basically asleep at the wheel.
So the foot will stay and the car will stay as the lights switch and stay. It's interesting that there wouldn't be enough pressure to keep on the brake pedal.
You walk up to a car, and if you notice this, a lot of times we'll park one of our patrol cars right in front of it in case the guy does let off. We can at least stop it from going out of control and hurting him or hurting somebody else. So
yeah, that'd be a tough one to talk your way out of in front of the judge.
Or you knock on the window, startle them, and they take off. But a lot of times they are very easily startled. It takes a lot of pounding on the window and a sternum rub or two to wake them up.
Too much fun. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to talk shop this morning with Gary Whitmer from EPD. I'm still intrigued by the concept of somebody literally falling asleep operating their vehicle at a stoplight. I mean, that's just got to be the goofiest darn thing in the world. One of those, until you see it yourself. What other things do you run into with the drugged or... I guess it would be the drugged driver, whether it was legal or illegal drugs.
We see people who have been under the influence of a stimulant, say methamphetamine, that have been up for several days, and they finally just come crashing down, and in mid-sentence will fall asleep. So,
Just the system just shuts down?
Shuts down.
No, they're not driving.
Oh, at times. At times.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And this, just from talking to these folks, you would think that maybe it was an opiate or some prescription medications that made them drowsy. It's just kind of like the opposite, where they've been up for so many hours and done so many drugs, the methamphetamine, that their body would just eventually, it'll start to wear off and they'll just crash.
Well, easier to arrest that way.
Yeah. It's nice to get them when they're on the downside.
Exactly. Speeding, is it becoming more of a problem within the city for you guys? You get all the black and whites now are all right. Black and whites, so you got the sheriff guys looking right. Like the city guys looking like the CHP guys, and it seems like there are more rigs around, at least along Harrison between the hospital, the coffee shop, and Myrtle. Could be coincidental, I don't know. But there's a lot of more color driving around now, and I suppose that's helping to offset some, but do you still have issues with speeding in town?
We do, unfortunately. speed's always been a problem. As far as our collision rate goes, we're always ranked fairly high for speed-related collisions. You know, unfortunately, due to staffing levels, our traffic division no longer functions. So we don't have traffic officers out there on their motorcycles, which are a lot more difficult to see, that are doing a lot more of the speed enforcement.
Stop signs get ignored? Street lights are just advisories? Or is it just the lack of the speed trailer being out there and somebody parked in the neighborhood paying attention?
I think it all has to come down to, with drivers paying attention. Occasionally you'll have the one good excuse, somebody had the sun in their eyes and they couldn't see the color of their light. That's understandable, we've all been there, but for the most part, it's just people aren't focused on driving, and they should.
You know, it used to be the attractive guy or the pretty girl walking by. Ha ha, giggle, giggle. But it seems like there's an awful lot of more things that are being used as excuses why I'm not paying attention. Is law, traffic law, changing to reflect some of these things?
Oh, just definitely. Just like what you've seen in the cell phone laws. Back in the day, it was illegal to talk on your phone while driving, but it was still okay to text while driving. And us in law enforcement thought that was just crazy. Who would not just make it illegal for both? Obviously, somebody that didn't know how to text made that law. But as times have changed, now you can't even hold the cell phone in your hand. So it used to be okay to hold it in your hand to look at your GPS and all that. Now they don't even want it in your hand. So, unfortunately, it takes that trial and error of why are all these collisions happening? What can we do to prevent this? And then the laws change to prevent this. But I think technology is moving so fast. Cars have all kinds of things in them now.
So, what's as traffic dude, what's your number one gripe today?
Man.
Not Labor Day today.
Okay.
Today.
You might have opened up a can of worms.
Okay. We got a little bit of time here.
Pick one. The cell phones. Cell phones just bug me. I see a lot of them on duty, and we write a lot of tickets for those, but off duty, when I'm in my own car, people, you know, drive along like blatantly talking on their phone or staring down, or you'll get behind the person that the light turns green, their head's down, and everybody goes and they're stuck there with their head down finishing their text. Makes me mad because it's not only dangerous, but it's totally avoidable.
Yeah, that would be the thing, I think. Because you know it's a leading cause for somebody being stupid.
Yep.
I mean, even if it's just high-centering their rig and have a mechanical charge.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's got to be intriguing, I guess.
It is. It's frustrating because it's an easy law to obey. Everybody likes to speed around once in a while. I mean, nobody, I don't think, intentionally blows through red lights during heavy traffic hours. But I think everybody intentionally makes a decision to pick up that phone and answer that text message or to make that call or whatever. So,
is there any technology, Gary, that's out there that, and I would think that it could be if the cell phone companies weren't reimbursed the way that they are, that if you got inside a rig within a, let's say, a 10-foot radius of some of the computer systems that are inside the vehicles today, shut down, cannot get, cannot send. That's it. Now, the 911 thing might
right.
be an exception into that equation if there was an abduction going on.
But right.
With the exclusion of that, I would think that there would be some opportunities.
I think that would be great, except if there was an emergency and somebody's in their car trying to report it and it wouldn't let them, things of that sort. But yeah, it would be great if there was a way to stop that from happening.
Do you have at the police department the opportunity to raise the fees?
No.
Is that a state?
It's a state, and it is also a county issue where there's county fees and services and such. So I think the standard in our county is $162 for the first offense.
That's, you know, if you put a zero behind it.
That might get somebody's attention.
Or two zeros behind it.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, things kind of, well, compliance goes up. Isn't that the way we say it in law school? Okay. KINS, News and Information. See, I can be a cop. Maybe. No. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Sergeant Gary Whitmer. Talk Shop presented this morning by CDH Painting and by Redec. Labor Day, new folks, presumably they're out driving around a little bit. Do you, in Eureka, do you see a lot of folks getting confused? Not diminished mental capacity, confused. Not drug, but through the roads. You know, we've got Wabash and Broadway, which is, I know they're supposed to be changing, but right now that's confusing as all get out. Myrtle and West is another unique to Eureka only kind of a scenario. And there are a number of others also. Do you see that people just sometimes get confused as they're driving around? Not being criminal, not paying attention, not going too fast, but just flat out, what in the world am I supposed to do here?
Just about every day. Especially during these holidays where you'll have an increase in tourists driving through. And inevitably, you'll have a tourist going the wrong way on a one-way street, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and we just happen to be there and make a stop. And it always seems like 9 times out of 10, they're just from out of town, and they're not understanding our quirky little one-way streets and Wabash and Broadway or Myrtle and West, things
well,
like that.
Well, you think about, like, San Francisco, it really is unique, but it's so well signed that, you know, if you can't see no turn left 5 in a row, you got to take a little responsibility with
that. Right.
With these folks, is it just more like a courtesy stop?
Well,
is that what they result in sometimes?
Again, 9 times out of 10, they won't get a ticket. Because we understand there's some, I don't want to say issues, but it's confusing, especially if you're trying to follow a map or you're unfamiliar with this area. It's definitely probably not worth a ticket.
Or there's a guy serving as the navigator.
Exactly.
Yeah, been down that road, huh?
Yeah. Google Maps says to turn left, but it says no left turn.
Yeah.
Do it anyway, honey.
Yeah. Oh, gee. Are four-way stops easier for traffic flow or roundabouts and some of these other things that are in place in other communities?
You know, I've been through several roundabouts through Arcata and in other cities as well, and they do slow you down. And it might be easier. I don't know what the collision rate would be, say, in Arcata at the roundabouts. But I've never had any close calls. Matter of fact, I came through one today and didn't seem that difficult. It's probably a little safer than a four-way stop.
I would think so. What about yield signs? I know the city a couple years ago just got really excited about putting yields on every intersection so that somebody had the right of way. Has that cleaned things up?
No. Well, I don't want to say no, but years ago we had a lot of uncontrolled intersections in some residential neighborhoods, and there were yield signs there. So eventually they put up stop signs on one side or another, and it made it a lot easier to investigate a traffic collision as to who had the right-of-way, who was there first, and things of that sort. So I think it made it a lot safer, too, because some people just wouldn't even see the yield sign and just blow through at 25 miles an hour, while the other person coming the other way thought, well, I'll just go through this 25 miles an hour. So I think the stop signs really helped.
And higher compliance.
Yeah, it slowed people down, but it reduced the number of collisions.
It's interesting for me, you know, going 20 or 25, that you still can get into a situation. It's so much slower than what so many go at, if you're paying attention.
Right.
Is it still distracted even at the slower speeds?
Oh, definitely.
Somebody not double-checking?
Oh, yeah. Even if you're just stop sign, people think just because they're stop sign, they can send that text message. Well, they put all their effort into reading that text message that they don't look for cars coming, and by the time they look up focus, there's a car and they pull out. We see it. We see it all the time.
We used to do shows 30 years ago, 35 years ago, with discussions about California stops, which I don't think are even referenced anymore. I guess I might be dating myself. rolling stops, all of those different types of things, people not paying attention. Is it a lesser occurring event, or because these other things are more prevalent that they get more attention?
I think other things get more attention, but we still have funding for traffic enforcement through the Office of Traffic Safety, so part of that is to watch stop signs, red light runners, things of that sort. We have specific overtimes just to go out and look for cell phones or bicyclists and pedestrians creating hazards and things, so we see it all.
You mentioned the bikes with the bike lanes. If somebody's going the wrong way, but they're in a bike lane, is that still more desired?
No.
Than driving out either in the lane or on the sidewalk going in the proper direction?
They're supposed to ride with the flow of traffic, and if there's a bike lane, they're supposed to be in the bike lane going with the flow of traffic, just like the little arrows show.
So like on Harris, where it's one way in Eureka. Okay, for those folks who don't know, it's one of the major east-west?
Yes.
I guess it'd be east-west.
Yep.
And it's one way for a majority of its run, and there's a bike lane.
Correct.
And I will routinely, and I'm sure you do too, see guys using the other lane, going hell-bent for leather.
Oh, yeah.
Do you bother with them?
At times. A lot of times when my guys are out doing the bike pedestrian safety enforcement, they do. Because we have seen bicyclists riding the wrong way contribute to the cause of collisions.
Not just shooting intersections.
Not just that, no.
Okay. But that's probably part of it, huh?
It is.
KINS. News and information time. It's 8:43. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
There are special events like that. Does that complicate things, or does that give you guys a chance to be normal guy?
Well, it depends if I'm at work or not. So,
okay, on the clock.
Yep, when I'm on the clock, sometimes, you know what? All the administration's gone from the department. It seems calm and quiet in the department. You think you can get things done. Usually, for the most part, it's not as busy, so we're able to catch up and get things done. So it's kind of a nice refresher, but then later on when people are coming back into town and things, and it could be a little busy.
And I don't know if three-day weekends qualify as special event days or not, but certainly there's a lot more activity going on out there. Will you, when you're deploying the folks, look more along the 101 corridor just because there is just more action? And the CHP guys, yeah, they're there, but no, they're not. And, you know, the one block over kind of a thing becomes a little bit more impacted as well.
Right. Well, with the Office of Traffic Safety funding that we have, I post overtime blocks, and there will definitely be people out this weekend on overtime to focus primarily on traffic enforcement. So
kind of like the old days.
Yep. And DUI enforcement. So nothing's really changed there, but there definitely will be more officers out this weekend.
All these questions I've not thought of in however many decades. Do you get the DUI arrests in Eureka? Are they along, I guess, the Caltrans corridor, if you will, or is it more in the city and the neighborhoods and driving around town?
Well, if you look at the statistics, you'll see them more on 4th, 5th, and Broadway just because that's where the volume of traffic is. So
sure.
Obviously the stats will be high, but we've had DUI arrests and DUI collisions all throughout town. So
you really want to have the web out as broad as it can be.
Correct, because the person who knows their DUI is going to obviously take the back roads to try to skirt around the edge of town. So a lot of times we'll have a person out in the residential areas too looking for the DUI drivers.
Has there been any movement at the state level about establishing a THC level yet?
I know they're trying. We were just at an Office of Traffic Safety seminar here not too long ago, and there are folks working on that. Still early developmental stages, but that was one of the topics that was brought up.
Is it a concern as Eureka is gearing up for retail sales all over the place?
You know, I don't know if that's going to have much of a difference in our community, per se, with the marijuana that's...
You don't think they'll be smoking on their way home?
You hope not. I've seen people doing it now, ever since the laws have changed, and, you know, it's kind of quasi-legal here and there. I've seen people, you know, while off-duty, heading home, smoking while they're driving, thinking it's legal. So...
And at this point, your interpretation of that same law is...
Don't smoke and drive.
Not so much so. Yeah, okay. Watch out for anybody that's got some of those gold things on their shoulders. I hear what you're saying there, man. Well, hopefully the rest of the weekend will be calm for you.
We sure hope so.
Yeah. Go have some barbecued meat somewhere.
Definitely.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.